Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, Amy.
Welcome, Harry.
Welcome to my podcast.
Thanks.
Welcome to the Mum Podcast, and I have a special guest with me today.
Have you?
Her name is Amy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What have you got for me today?
Not a lot. I've got some fucking air. I thought we might have new people listening to this podcast because we've got an Instagram celebrity on it.
Yeah, we have. So, let me tell you who you look like.
Who do I look like?
Jonathan Ross's wife.
You said that the other day.
Or I know who you look like. What's the girl that not the girl, but the mum that went on. What's Simon Cowell? What's the lady? The English lady. Older. She lives in America. Osborne.
Shut up.
You look like the daughter. What's the daughter's
Kelly
name?
Kelly Osborne.
Oh. She's had a gastric bypass, hasn't she?
Has she?
So it could be you. She has. She's admitted it as well. She was a chubby girl. Yeah, she was chubby. But I don't think she was very beautiful. I always thought
she's got a lovely
pretty
face.
She did. But I saw a picture. I thought, God, blimey. She's tiny, and she is very small now.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's admitted to, or is it a band, or I don't know, one of those newfangled things that stops you eating.
Oh, she's only young.
I mean, I probably need that.
Oh, don't.
Me and my chubby buns.
I just need something to shout at me every time I go for a biscuit. That's what I need. So it's just go, no!
Do you know, have you seen those little things, those pig things you could put in the fridge?
No.
Every time you eat it, it goes, oink, 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 oink. Mine should be, stop your fat bitch, stop your fat bitch. Stop fucking eating all the pies.
Don't.
Idris, my 6-year-old son, said to me, yeah, Mum, you do have a big bottom. I was like, right. I said, compared to what though?
Well, he said, everyone
compared
else in
to
the
all
world.
My other aunt. Yeah, all my other aunties have got fairly, and he's like got his hands out and he's like, you know, sort of making gestures about a small bum. He said, yours is quite large.
Aww.
I was like, oh my God, my 6-year-old child. He said, I like it though.
It's wicked. It's wicked ass.
Jesus, I know, but I got to stop feeding it.
Well, no, you shouldn't. It's nice to have a big bum.
Tis.
It's nice to have something to grab hold of.
Tis. It is. But yeah, on to actually the podcast.
On to the podcast. So if you're new and listening because of our wonderful guest. I'm Amy. Hi.
I'm Harold. I'm not really, I'm Harry. She makes it sound so boring, doesn't she?
Ooh.
I'm Harry,
hi.
You are?
I'm Amy.
Why are you showing me your boobs?
Well, it's just because I've got a bra on, so they're just flopping around. And I'm
flopping
itchy.
Around? They're by your bloody, they're like by your waist.
I wish they were that big, Harry. I wish they were that big that they reached my waist.
They're just long, aren't they?
Yeah, they're long and sad.
Long and sad.
But they're a bit happier since I've got flowers tattooed on them.
Oh, bless.
My daughter said that they look like they're going to Diwali. Oh, thanks. So they look, they look like they're going to a festival of happiness because I've got flowers.
Bless
I know.
Oh, she's soon going to get the gist. Oh,
bastards. Anyway, yeah, so we were very, very, very lucky to be joined by the amazing Lou, who's absolutely hilarious and bonkers.
Batshit crazy, yeah. I would say.
After this...
But actually, quite like us, actually.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not you.
Well, yeah.
You're quite normal on the scale of Lulu.
Yeah, she's
maybe
extreme me and you, pretty much.
Yeah, definitely go to her page to have a look. She's
brilliant.
She's quite a character. I love the fact that she's got like a bit of a, like she loves her hiking. She likes showing her bum.
Yeah.
She loves a bit of fashion. She likes being sort of quite outlandish. She likes, she's really good at, I mean, she's been obviously used as a marketer because she's got such a massive following. And I just think she's kind of living the dream of a 50-something.
She's living my dream.
Or 50.
She's 49. Living,
I was going to say, we have to shout out Nicole Peaches and Tembi, who are two of our friends that are quite obsessed with Lulu.
Yes.
I would say.
I'd say that. That's fair.
So we've got to big up them. We will, we'll at them so that you can see.
But yeah, go to her page. It's Lou in Luland, which if you look at the artwork for the episode, you'll see that anyway. And obviously most of you work here because she's so great. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, enjoy. And it's two parts because she's done so much. It's in two parts. So the next part's coming next week, but. Yeah, it's hilarious, and I think in much need in the current climate, it's just nice to have a laugh for an hour. So
yeah,
we hope that after this shit show of a fucking year, so enjoy and see you on the other side.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Work.
So, I'm really excited. This week we're joined by someone that I stalk on Instagram.
She stalks.
The amazing
stalks,
Lou.
Basically.
I do, I stalk you. Lou in Luland.
She's my stalker. It's very exciting. I feel like I've arrived.
You've got like 11,500 stalkers.
But I know, right?
I mean, that's amazing.
Mm. But your biggest one.
It's amazing. It's going crazy at the moment.
Your biggest one is Amy.
It still is a bit of a mystery to me.
Amy and Nicole. Do you know Nicole as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Our other crazy friend. Loves you.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking loves you. Can't get enough of you.
But weirdly, so we have a friend in common that I never knew about. And Nicole's also got a friend in common with you. It's such a small world.
Who's Nicole's friend in common?
A girl called Helen. She's cut her hair for like 20 odd years.
Yeah. Where is she? Down in Brighton?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Yeah, because she does cut her down in Brighton.
Trying to think if it's a Helen who I like or a Helen I've fallen out with.
Well, if it's Nicole's, Nicole's friend, she's probably not a friend anymore.
Oh my goodness. So Lou, I was going to get myself glammed up for this, but
honestly,
oh my god, and look at me. Sorry, I look right there, very disappointed.
So just before you joined the call, like, it is so freaking hot here. I'm not even joking. It's like a ridiculous city. But I was like, we were saying, for some reason at the moment, I really stink. Like, I stink more than normal. And somebody was saying,
I can't bear it. What is it? Is it the menopause?
That's what I just said.
Oh,
I think it's soap. I started using a bar of soap and it's disgusting. Like, my deodorant, like, completely stopped working. I've had to go back to shower gel. It's fucking gross.
Yeah, see?
I'm smelling my own armpits going, this isn't right, this deodorant. And we import, America has really bad deodorant. There's a market there for someone. And so we import, when we come back with like 20 jars of Sanex. And then all of a sudden one day it just stopped working. And I'm like, I fucking stink. Yeah. What's happening? Oh. And the only thing that's different is the soap. And I started using a bar of soap because I was trying to be a little bit more, you know, planet friendly.
Maybe.
And no, I think it's that. So I've stopped using it and I stopped smelling again. Bloody hell. Middle age. I think it's middle age. Middle age oozing out of us.
Yeah, that's what I said. But even my son said, he usually likes to smell at me. He said this morning, Mum, you absolutely stink. You stink. I was like, ah. Even my six-year-old is saying I stink. That's not a good look, is it? That's not a good look.
Amazing. Not the look you were going for.
No.
Amazing.
Brilliant. So for people that don't know you, Lou, even though I'm sure the world does, I found you because my friend Nicole messaged me saying, oh my God, there's this woman on Instagram who is basically who we want to be. You've got to look at her page because we both have worn vintage clothes for however long. And she sent me a picture of you and you were in this see-through pink negligee gown with this amazing headpiece on, standing on top of some bins. And I was just like, oh my God. And then since then, we've just been obsessed with you. So would you like to just tell the world a little bit about who you are and what you do and why you're so amazing?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm not sure I can answer the last bit, but is there a quick answer? I'm a vicar's daughter.
No.
Born in...
Oh, wow.
Yes. Vicar's daughter, born in London, moved around loads, wherever God called, off we hoofed. So we moved around quite a lot. I lived in the Midlands, Kidderminster.
Oh, Worcester. Really?
Yeah, yeah. They moved quite a lot. And then when I wanted to go to university, I wanted to do social work. My mum was a probation officer and I wanted to do social work. And I was too... back in those days, I was too young. They wanted you to... Yeah. You couldn't get on the course till you were 21. So they said, go off and get some experience in the field that you want to work in. So I started working with young offenders and troubled youth in Wales. And I did a year with them. And then I went out to Berlin for a year and worked as a youth worker for British Forces children that lived out in Berlin. That was amazing. I was there while the wall came down. And if you go to the Brandenburg Museum. If you go to the Brandenburg Museum, there's actually a picture of me in dungarees on top of the Berlin Wall, the Berlin Wall came down. Anyway.
Oh my God!
I know, but it was quite, working for the military was when you're 19 and a single woman was not really as fun as it sounded. I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea where I was going. To be honest, I only applied for the job because they were advertising for people in Cyprus and I thought I could get a tan. And when I went to, when I went to the job, they gave me Berlin. I'm like, I don't want to go to fucking Berlin. Everyone's grey and eats like gruel. I wanted to go to Cyprus and they were like, no, this is the best, it's the biggest youth club to run and it's the best job. And I was like, not really the plan. So I had no idea what to expect. So that was a crazy year. And then when I came back from that, I still had some time. I didn't know what to do. So I became a kiddie rep for Falcon Holidays and I was an Auntie Sunbeam in Tenerife.
You were who? Auntie Sunbeam.
I was Auntie Sunbeam. Oh, bless. Lou's Fun Club. But then what nobody knew was, while I was supposed to be doing the babysitting duty at night, I was sleeping with half the dads.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Did you ever get caught? Did anybody ever suspect you?
I can't believe I just said that out loud.
And you're the vicar's daughter as well. You can get away with murder.
And I'm the vicar's daughter, so it always gets me away with everything. So I did that. Then I was in Tenerife, then I was in Portugal. Then I got promoted to Club 18 to 30. Got promoted to Club 18 to 30. And my main job was just getting everyone drunk. I mean, I was so good at that job. It was the best job I ever had. But then...
Oh, what a great job.
Then I met Darren. I know, it was brilliant. Then I slept with everyone there as well. And then I met Darren from Iris, who was an electrician who'd gone out to Portugal on holiday and got a job in a bar and not gone home. And I met him and fell in love with him, and we decided to move back to Iris together.
Wow.
What point I thought that was the daydream. Lovely Iris.
Drunk at the time.
So that was fine. So I moved... Yeah, very... Moved back to London, got a job as a nanny for this really posh American family that were living in London in Blackheath. And again, I only took the job because it had a free car and I could get backwards and forwards to Darren at the weekend. Got fired from that for taking their drugs. I found their cocaine and took some of their drugs and got fired from that. This is not a good CV, is it really? This is not an advert to
him. I love it.
So got fired from that. Then I moved to central London and started working in the health and fitness, and started out in the creche looking after the kids while mums were working out, and got promoted and became an aerobics instructor.
I bet you slept with all them PTs, didn't you?
And the guests. And the been guests. A very busy life, girls. It's been a busy life. Then I moved into advertising. I moved into advertising and I worked for, in the 90s, late 80s and 90s, No, sorry, 90s, late 90s. Started working for an advertising agency that was super cool. And that's where I met my husband. And then things calmed down a bit. And then we moved to Brighton, sort of, you know, like everybody does who moves to Brighton, looking for a better quality of life and just a bit, you know, a bit more house for our money more than anything else, which seemed like a great idea when we was just the two of us and we commuted up and down and it was wicked fun. We stayed in London half the week. We had a nice pad in Brighton. And then we took voluntary redundancy, the pair of us, and we went travelling around the world. And on the way back, I got pregnant with Oscar. So that was not really the plan, because we came back with no job. We'd blown all the money, all the redundancy money. We'd blown it all traipsing around the world. We like to tell everyone we went travelling, but really we stayed in spas. And we're wandering along the beach in Thailand with wheelie suitcases, looking like a right pair of cunts. Sorry, I shouldn't say cunts.
There was no travel. We were not exactly backpackers. None.
We're not exactly backpackers. And then eventually.
No, but that's the way I want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. There's no point. Nobody wants to stay in a bloody youth
club. If I do
it,
fuck camping.
Exactly. No.
Horrific.
Just stay in spas. So then we did that and then came back and I was pregnant. So my husband carried on commuting up and down to London and I stayed in London with Oscar and just sort of did bits and pieces. I started working for a baby swimming company, which was bonkers, but it was so much fun. I did that for quite a long time. And then finally, eventually, because I never ended up going back to university, what was one thing or another. So I never went. I'd always continued to work with kids somehow through youth work and whatever, through everything else. So then I went back to work for social services for 6 years as a family support worker. So where kids were about to be removed and put into care, I'd go in like super nanny and teach parenting skills and budgeting and cooking and timeouts and routines and very basic, basic parenting things. And I I loved that job. And that's as Oscar was growing. So he started at school and I became chair of the PTA and then I became... Then I started the school camp because I grew up doing, Dad used to run church camps for the church youth club. When Oscar started at school, I was like, I want to start a school camp. I'm going to start the school camp.
Yeah.
So I literally pioneered the school camps in Brighton, 10, 11 years ago now. It was the very first one. And it's still going strong, even though he's long gone. Camp Davigdor still going. And then I fell out with one of the dads because he was a dickhead at school. He caused a whole heap of trouble at the bloody camp. So I stopped doing the school camp and I started Feather Fest, which is a big family camping festival. And then, so I carried on doing that for a while. And then guy got offered a job. But what really, actually, the style thing started. I've always had a bit of
You've
a
always been
style,
stylish,
when down,
haven't you? Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say stylish. I've had an interesting style. But when I turned 40, so I was working at social services, I have always just been a shopaholic since I got a Next Directory when I was 17. that was the beginning of a very bad relationship with money and credit my whole life. So when I got to 40 and I was working for social services, and I woke up one morning and I'd spent 300 quid on a pair of Kurt Geiger shoes, and I woke up in the night having a full-blown panic attack. And I was like, fuck, God, this is ridiculous. You know, what am I doing with spending 400 quid on a pair of shoes? I clean people's council houses, for God's sake. So I was like, right, it's got to stop. So I woke up the next morning and I said to my husband, right, that's it. I'm stopping shopping for a year. I'm not doing it for a whole year. And I stopped shopping from that moment. I stopped my shopping and I decided the next month, I was like, right, I'm going to start a blog. So I started a blog on Tumblr, because this is like 9 years ago now, on Tumblr. Instagram hadn't started, but I was one of the first people that ever did Outfit of the Day on the internet and put it on Tumblr. And I wore a different outfit every day for the whole year and still had outfits to spare.
Wow.
And I only bought two things the whole year.
See, it can be done.
Right?
Oh my God.
It can be done.
It can be done.
Where did you keep everything?
And the weirdest thing is, not the weirdest thing, it was such a journey. I mean, I had a full-blown withdrawal. I was like chewing the table leg of the dining table and like trying to get to Topshop, and my husband had me locked in the house.
Yeah.
Don't do it. So at that time, that's when I got into fitness, because I needed to keep busy. So I got into fitness that year as well.
Yeah.
And started running. And I found a bunch of girls who were going out to do this rock and roll 10K in Madrid. It's basically that you run for 10K and there's bands every mile or every K. They put a band out and then there's a big party at the end. It seemed like a good idea. So that was a good goal. That got me started on that. But the end of the shopping thing, and the shopping thing really, when it finished, it was more, there was this like tangible feeling and I couldn't work out what it was. And then all of a sudden I realised what it was, a confidence. And it was one of the first times in my whole life I actually felt confident in myself. If I could do that, if I could not shop for a whole year, I could do motherfucking anything. And so that really changed my life. It didn't really change my shopping habits dreadfully, although it did make me, it did change my style, because I was trying to find, I was trying to put things together in a different way because I was stuck with what I had. So rather than thinking, well, that looked nice with something pink, I'd just put orange on with it instead. So my style did change and became quite a thing. It was funny. It was a really interesting year, but I still shop. So then I finished that. And then we moved to America. And then the vintage here is just literally ridiculous. There's so much good stuff.
Yeah.
It's so cheap. And again, we kind of got here. And when we moved here, I couldn't work. I didn't have a visa for working for the first year. And I was busy settling Oscar. He was only 10 still. So I was trying to settle him at school and get my head round sidewalks and trash cans and it's so different. I really think America, you think we speak the same language, we're such different cultures.
Yeah,
so totally. Trying to get used to that. Guy was traveling a lot, and then, but I was really lucky because I couldn't work whether I wanted to or not. Like when we left Brighton, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can't work. And everyone's like, all right, don't worry about it. And I was like, no, but I'm so used to being busy. What am I going to do? Well, I settled into doing fuck all very quickly, I can tell you.
I fucking would.
But it's brilliant. I loved it. 6 years later, I'm like, really should get a job. But I tried all sorts of things. When I got here, I met the most amazing women since I've been here. So there's a real bunch of us. So I started, when we first moved here, someone did us a big Welcome to America hamper, Welcome to Portland. And in it was, Portland coffee, a guide to restaurants, places to go. But in there was a hiking book, 25 best hikes within an hour and a half of Portland. So I just started doing them. I knew a couple of people from Britain who lived here already. And I'd been, a couple of people had given me names. But I started doing these hikes and then I put it on Facebook. And a couple of people who I'd met at school or whatever were like, oh, we'll come on a hike with you if you're doing one. So Hike Squad was born, like, really quite quickly. And each week I'd go, right, I'm going to do this hike. I'm leaving at 9 a.m. Meet me at this coffee shop and we'll carpool. So started doing that and it just grew into a thing. Each week it would be different. We'd go on a different hike and different people would come and it started to, it was always women. We had one bloke come once and I think that was enough. But it was just a most amazing tribe of women. And a lot of us, there's a couple of Americans, but it's mostly, so there's Brits, there's Dutch, and there's Belgian. And we're all here. Nike's head office is based in Portland. And Adidas have
got, okay.
And Adidas have got a big campus here as well. So there's quite a lot of expats here. You fall into one or two. You're either Adidas or Nike in Portland. It's quite funny. So there's a big community of Europeans here. So we all know that we only have a moment in time together. It won't last. Like, we're all just passing through. No one will probably live here forever. So it's like being on an extended girls trip. You know, we're all into making the most of every freaking minute that we've got together. I'd never even heard of vagina therapy before my friend mentioned it. And it was a mum's group, or it was a women's group that I belonged to in Portland called Pom Pom Social. And each week, each month, they met with a panel of, you know, people to talk or whatever. And it was really always amazing fun. You always meet amazing women. And then the topic for the week was this vagina therapist coming to do this talk. And I Googled her, and because her nickname, she's known as the Vagina Whisperer. She's done a TED Talk and produced like 3 books. And my mate was like, I really want to go. I know. She's like a really well-published author. She's really well-known. She charges $2,000 and she basically fingers you. That's what she charges for a private appointment.
But fuck,
you can't
off.
Even get one. Yeah.
$2,000?
I think it's something ludicrous, but you can't get an appointment for like a year. She's booked out for a year.
Well, like, she actually fingers you?
She literally, it's vagina therapy, and she believes that all our power and all our trauma and all our source of all of us is based in our vagina, which does make sense because that's where our children came from. That was the first part of us that we created. Anyway, so she basically, it's not just quite as simple as me. She ever heard this, she'd be like, yes, it's not quite that simple. But she basically helps you release your trauma and open you up, and but that, you know, that's what I mean. She's literally got a 1-year waiting list just for her therapy. She's really wild. So if you've had trauma during birth, if you have had any kind of trauma during your life, she believes that that's just where we store all our pain, but all our power is there as well. And so if you have had trauma, then your power is blocked in your pain and it's all jumbled up together. Didn't sound like my real cup of tea.
Yeah.
And I said to my mate, I don't think I'm going to skip this week. I can stay at home and think of myself for a lot less than $2,000. Anyway, she had a bad, you know, it's always one of those stories like she had a bad back and she was miserable and no one else could take her. And I was like, fine, I'll take you. I'll go. So I go, and then we're sort of there, we're eating vegan, it was very Portland, we were eating vegan pizza and like locally produced organic wine out of a can, and all like meditating to our vagina. So she didn't finger us, but she did have, you know, so she gave us a bit of a general talk, and then we had to meditate to our vaginas, and the whole room sat there with their eyes closed, like, you know, visualizing their vaginas, and I'm sort of sitting there with one eye open thinking someone's gonna come in a minute and like film us, we're getting punked, it's all wind up. But one thing I always say to everybody is, you know, say yes to everything. When we moved to America, we had a British friend who was already living here, and her advice was, always make friends, skip the British because all the foreigners, because they're always leaving, like make friends with the Americans because they're the ones with the lake houses and the houses and the ski lodges, and they're the best ones to make friends with, and like always just say yes. So then since then, whenever anyone new arrives in town, if people know me, they'll say, will you show your this person around, or will you do this? And then I do these vintage shopping tours for Airbnb and take people vintage shopping. And you know, my motto is always say yes, just try it on. Try it on. You never know. Just try it on. Don't limit yourself. Just give it a go. If it looks like shit, take it off again, but at least try it. So I'm sitting there and I'm sitting there in this vagina meditation with one eye open, like laughing to myself. And I'm thinking, come on, you always say yes to everything and embrace everything. You're sitting here with this opportunity. This woman does a TED talk. She's got, you know, it's got to be something about it. Give it a try. So I literally closed my eyes. And the only thing I really remember was we had to stand in nature. We were visualizing standing in nature and rooting our vaginas into Mother Earth.
Yeah.
And that's the only actual part of it I can remember. All I know is I just came out of there and I just felt completely different. She completely opened my vagina, my eyes, my mind. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But the next morning, I got up and my son and my husband were sitting at the breakfast bar and they're like, "You all right?" And I'm like, I'm amazing. Me and my vagina are amazing. And I don't know what's happened. And I don't know how it's happened. But something's happened. And we're going to take over the world. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And they're both just sitting there looking at me over their cereal going, okay, all right. And Mum's finally lost her mind. And Oscar was watching some random YouTube channel. And I was like, "What are you watching?" And he was like, "Oh, you know, some shit on YouTube." And I was like, "How do these people make money out of that?" And he's like, "I don't know." I went, "Maybe I'll start a YouTube channel. That's what me and my vagina are going to do." And he's like, "Oh, my God, what are you going to call it?" And I was like, "I don't know. Maybe Margarita's Menopause and Midlife Crisis. I don't know." And he's like, "Oh, my God, no one's going to watch it. It's going to be so embarrassing." And then he left for school and I was like, "That's it. I'm setting up a YouTube channel." And so I had a friend from England who was runs the it's called iStorm, and she trains women to vlog for their business. It's an amazing course. And so I messaged her quickly and I just said, "Look, I really want to annoy Oscar by setting up a YouTube channel. What do I need? What do I need?" And she said, "I've got a course starting on Monday, an online course. Why don't you do it?" And this was something like, I don't know, it's just Thursday the week before. "There's a course starting Monday. Why don't you do it? Do it for free. If you give it a little push on Instagram, that'd be amazing." So I was like, "Wow. Okay, sure. Why not? Let's do it." Anyway, so it was very much tailored to your business. And at that point, I was doing the odd tea party. I was doing pop-up British tea parties because Americans love that shit.
Yeah.
Bought loads of tea. I was working with another British woman who lives here who was making the cakes, and we just go to these rich American ladies' houses, throw up some bunting, make a bloody Victoria sandwich, pour a cup of tea, say things in a British accent and leave again and charge them $500. It's brilliant. Bloody. It was like flour and eggs, you know that, right?
That's such a good idea, so, though.
Oh my God, well, they love it and it's so easy. So it was just like money for old Rome. It was hilarious. So was doing the British tea parties, and the course was kind of designed for your business. So if you wanted to tailor it to obviously promote your business. And I was like, "Well, I don't really want to promote. I don't want to vlog about tea parties. No one wants to know about that. I wanted to vlog about style. And get free stuff."
Yeah.
Well, I was looking around YouTube and there's like, one of the most popular YouTube channels, this freaking woman, and all she does is eat pizza. She doesn't even speak. She just sits. She sits with boxes and boxes of pizza, and she just eats them. And she gets paid for it. She's got millions of subscribers.
Are you being serious?
And do you know what her main audience is? Anorexics. They sit and watch her eat the pizza because it gives them some kind of joy watching somebody eat.
Oh, my God, that's so fucked up.
Isn't that so fucked up? So I'm like, surely I can get a free pair of trousers from someone. So, I'll just eat the pizza. I don't know. Maybe I can just sit and drink gin. sit and drink gin silently online. And so millions of people will watch me and I'll get paid for it. I'm like, I'm sure life's not that easy, but maybe it is. I haven't tried it. So I was like, no, I want to do the style. So me and my new wide open, like, receptive vagina, like, come on, maybe this is the time that you create a style business.
Yeah.
And let's invent it right now. So I literally sat on the laptop, I looked at all the other stylists working out of Portland, of which there aren't that many because Portland is not exactly a fashion mecca. People come here for camping and working out. They do not come here for fashion. So there wasn't many, but I created a sort of style coach package where, you know, I'd come and clear out your closet. But I didn't just obviously want to just take, I didn't want to just become a personal shopper and take people shopping. I wanted to try and get people to be more creative. Also, I really wanted to, I don't want to encourage people to just buy more shit, you know, buy vintage, be more sustainable. And everything started to make more sense to me about, I could, you know, encourage people to be, I was thinking, what do I get out of dressing up? And it's confidence and it's unique and it's mine and it's a conversation starter. So I wear, I wear a good pair of sunglasses to the supermarket. Three people will talk to me about my sunglasses. Yeah. I like it in America. People everywhere you go, people comment.
Yeah.
It's really funny. When we came back for a visit last year in the summer, Oscar and I decided, it was just Oscar and I for the day, and we decided we'd have a day doing touristy things in London. So we got the open top bus and we went all around London looking at the stuff like he hadn't seen since we'd left. And it was really good fun. But nobody commented on my outfit. I was like, no one's commented on my outfit. It's banging. And Oscar went, maybe it's just not that good outfit. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's the fucking British. No one says anything nice to you. Like, America was like, oh my God, I love your slippers. I love your hair. I love everything. But I like the conversation starting piece. Yeah. People, where did you get that? Like, when I used to go shopping in New York years ago, when I was buying things, it was like, will somebody ask me where I got it from? And if I didn't think that they would, I'd put it back. So, I mean, that's my style, right? So, but that gives me a confidence. I enjoy that. Enjoy, it helps me. I like meeting people. I enjoy everybody I meet. I enjoy, that's part of what gives me life, right? So that's not for everybody. But so I started to create these packages for the shopping experience, for the styling experience. And I was thinking about vintage shopping, and I was thinking, will people want to do, you know, so many people ask me about vintage shopping or thrifting. You go in and it's very overwhelming. There's usually stacks and stacks and stacks of clothes and rails, and it's disorganized and it's all over the place, and people just haven't got the patience for it. And whenever I'm in a vintage shop, you can nearly always hear somebody go, oh, I can't cope with it, let's go. Maybe I could train people to vintage shop. Maybe that's a thing. Would people want a coach? I don't know. And then I remembered, this was all on the same day, by the way. It was a very busy morning for thinking. And I remembered every now and again, I have a burst, and that's it for about 6 months. Very busy. But this was my, bearing in mind, this is my new powerful vagina, powered by my new powerful vagina. I remembered that Airbnb was starting these experiences. So if you are going on a trip, you can book an Airbnb in a local, stay in a local's house. Well, then they started this new thing where you can go and do an experience with a local person. So you can find out about the secret speakeasy club at the back of the hotel, or you can, if you go to LA and you want to go surfing, a local surfer will show you where the best break is. You know, you can go coffee bean roasting, you can make, I don't know, you can do all sorts of things with a local anyway. So I was like, maybe, and the vintage shops in Portland are really good. Yeah. So I was like, maybe I could take people vintage shopping. So I went on the Airbnb, same morning, I went on the Airbnb website, and they had a proposal form. And so I banged out a proposal, Lou and Lou Land's vintage shopping tours with a stylist. And I emailed it off, and they called me the next day. Airbnb called me, and I was one of the first Airbnb experiences in Portland.
Wow.
I was up and running by the next week. I had my first guests within a week of the vagina meditation. I had my first Airbnb guests.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Just literally that, opening yourself up.
Yeah. Did you love it?
Really crazy. Yeah, I loved it. Oh my God. So I just got the best clients, and so then I got really busy. So then I did the course, I did the vlogging course, and that was amazing because she sort of she went through everything from like practical stuff with a camera to how your microphone to thinking about your background to your brand and how you want to present yourself and what's your message, what's your core message, what, you know, who are you trying to attract? Like, she really got you thinking about what you wanted to do. And I managed that through that week of that course, and that weekend I sort of developed an entire business. I never ended up setting up the YouTube channel. Well, I did, and there's about 3 really bad videos on it, but I got so busy with Airbnb tours.
Yeah. Just,
I went off and did that. And so that then led to me buying an awful lot of more clothes, because of course I was in the fucking clothes shops the whole time. But I was picking up all the bargains, and then I started to get to know all the vintage shop owners. So then they would like keep stuff that they knew that I liked.
Oh, that's the dream.
So I got a right wicked little network around the vintage stores. So then I started accumulating more clothes, which I really didn't need, but like really good pieces for, like, you know, I never pay more than $20 for
anything. Yeah.
And then people started asking to borrow clothes for fancy dress all the time, because it's quite, they love a fancy, they love a themed auction here. So the schools are not very well funded in America. It's,
yes.
I mean, you think Britain's bad, America's a joke, and they rely very, very heavily on the PTA. Oh God, that's a brilliant story. That's such a funny story. When we came out, they flew us out to have a look around Portland to see if we wanted to move here. And my husband had like a whole variety of jobs from like New York to San Francisco. It was ridiculous. He was just his career was going crazy. And once he'd got one offer, he seemed to just be getting loads of offers all at once. And
what does he do? Swallowing.
He's a creative director at an ad agency, design. He's a design director. But we were swanning around America, basically getting flown everywhere to see where we wanted to live. And we were like, this is fucking ridiculous. Anyway, so we came out to Portland to have a look around. Oh God, I've forgotten what I was going to tell you.
The PTA. You said that there was a PTA thing. Sorry.
So I've got a very, 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 no, don't worry. I've got a very old friend from, England who lives here, and she she was chairman of the PTA at the time of this local school. And it's actually the school where it's really cool. The guy who wrote The Simpsons, Matt Groening, he went to this school.
Okay.
And The Simpsons, when Bart comes in the titles of The Simpsons, when Bart flies out on his skateboard down the steps, that's based on my son's elementary school that he went to.
Oh, wow.
And all the characters in The Simpsons are named after street names in Portland. So as you're driving around, you're like, oh, look, there's, you know, and there's, oh, God. So he went to my son's school and high school. So I've met him, because they always bring him out for, he comes to all the school. Anyway, the schools don't have, so we go around, we're looking around the school. We haven't decided we're moving here. And my friend Sue takes me into the elementary school and introduces me to the principal. And bear in mind, I was chair of the PTA at my son's school down in Brighton, and I was doing a pretty good job. I was in the governor's, and I was chair of the PTA, and I set up the St. Answell's Spring Festival down in Brighton, and so I was quite into my fundraising and stuff. So I'm swanning around this elementary school, and Sue said, oh, Lou's quite a fundraiser and event planner, we could really do with her on the PTA.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yes, you know, I've just appeared on the PTA of Great Britain Award. I've just won an award for most money raised. I raised £2,000 last year for my PTA. We built an organic garden and a scooter rack. It was very controversial. Anyway, we're swanning around the school having a look, and we get back to the sort of like main reception area of the school, and I'm talking away to the principal, and he's like, oh yes, no, we very much appreciate it if you would like to get involved, if you decide to come here. And I glance behind him, and I see this huge wall, and on the wall it says, last year's Chapman Elementary PTA thanks the parents for raising $280,000.
Fucking hell.
That's how much they raised.
Jesus Christ. Like,
all right, I'm just going to shut up about my 2,000 quid of a fucking organic fucking vegetable patch. Like, what the fuck? They pay for teachers. Like, they have to pay for actual... They have to pay actual wages.
Yeah.
Never mind a bloody organic garden and a scooter rack. Well, I had no idea. Well, I made a right tit of myself. Oh, my God, I was mortified. I was like, yeah, I'm really great with my 2,000 quid. Anyway, God, I do digress from the point. the biggest fundraising event for all of the schools is they have a huge auction. Each school, elementary, middle and high school, they all have these huge auctions. And they raise, literally, they'll raise 100 grand that night, just that night. American people give in such a different way. Like, they're so incredibly generous with charity. If they've got the money, they it is very much, they feel part of their duty of having the money to share it. So it's just, it's very different set up than Britain, but incredibly generous. I mean, the first few auctions I went to, I just sat there with my mouth open, with my food dribbling out of the corner, going, she just bid six grand. Oh my god. And then it's really nuts, but they always have a theme. So when auction season comes around, I'd start to get loads of phone calls from friends going, oh god, I've got a 20 Gatsby's evening, have you got anything I could borrow, And as the vintage tours grew and the vintage collection grew, I found myself buying more and more things that I thought people might want to borrow. So then after a while, I started thinking, and then I came back. So the vintage collection was just growing. I was doing the tours, and then I came back to England. I think it was last summer. The styling business, it just wasn't heaps of styling of people's wardrobe. Because I think my style's so out there. I think people are traumatized with the thought that they might think I'm going to come and try and make them wear a fucking headscarf on their head and wear pink and purple together or something. I don't know. Americans are quite conservative in how they dress. Quite a lot of them are. So I think they're quite traumatized that I would try and dress them like me rather than appreciating that this is my style. But I might just encourage you to think a little bit out of the box. But then I came back to Britain last summer, and I mean, I was blown away. I was going to the pub and everything had turned vegetarian, and, you know, everyone's so sustained, you know, really switched on to sustainability so much more than here. And it was so exciting. I was like, bloody hell, this is brilliant. And I met a woman via Instagram, actually, called Gigi, who runs Gigi's dressing room up in North London. And I went to visit her when I came back.
I follow her.
Yeah, and she runs half a vintage store and half vintage rentals. And she has just been so inspirational to me. I was like, I'm going to start renting out my bloody clothes.
Yeah.
So after a visit with her and having spent, you know, three or four weeks in Britain, just felt so motivated by everybody for change, I came back and set up Lou and Luland Rent My Wardrobe. And I set up a home studio and I shot my whole collection of clothes. And I'd really envisaged doing it via mail order and it being sort of like, you know, a bit of a bigger thing in terms of countrywide. I set it up really simply. I just set it up on Instagram, so it didn't cost me any money. I was like, let's just see if it's got any legs. You know, bigger clothing rental companies were opening. But then they can afford to offer big packages. So you get a subscription service and you get...
Yeah.
But there's a lot more things for wearing to work or a bit more formal.
Yeah.
Whereas my pieces are a bit more, you know, showstoppery or for big events and stuff. But people didn't want to rent online. They want to come and they want to try them on and see what else they want, an alternative. And, you know, with vintage it's really hard because the sizes vary so much, and people were you know, had anxiety about that. So then I quickly we rent the treehouse here, but we had this huge weird storage area that was just stuff full of trainers and sneakers. So I yanked all the trainers and sneakers out, painted it all white, and created the treehouse closet, the Lou and Luland walk-in wardrobe. And so now women come down here and we put the tunes on and we open the wine and we dance around and they try it all on, and I style them up for parties or their birthdays, or if they're after, well, this is in the old days when there was such thing. You know, going off to Palm Springs for a long weekend with their girls and they wanted a few outfits for that. So that's how I know, it's a bit of a long story, but it's all down to the vagina.
That sounds so lovely. I thought that Gigi, she's near me, I think, and I keep meaning to go and check it out, but I still haven't got round to it.
Oh my god, please do. She's really struggled with COVID as well. She's potentially in trouble, but she's getting better at going online because she's such old school. But when I went and met her, she said, now I don't tell everybody, she said, I don't talk about it a lot because it meets some resistance, but she has regular vagina therapy.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, she sees somebody in England.
Yeah. Ooh. And every woman, or lots of the really amazing women that I've met in the last year, all have vagina therapy.
I'm going to look into it.
You've got to look into it.
Yeah.
Did I send you the link? I must send you the link.
No, I don't. Send it to me because I'm interested.
Mm.
It's definitely
something in it. I feel like every time I open part of me or open myself, things start happening.
Yeah.
It's really crazy, or like something finishes and another thing opens. If you just tune yourself in, I don't know.
I think it's a lot about being open to things and just thinking,
you've gotta
fuck
look
it.
For it. You have to look for it.
Definitely.
But yeah, I'm great. I mean, I was raised that way. That was just part of being brought up in my house.
Yeah.
But, you know, my mum was a probation officer and dad obviously was a vicar. So I was just brought up being grateful, even if it was like saying grace at dinner. Do you know what I mean? It's just like little things, like just stopping and having dinner together or being able to do that. You know, mostly dad wasn't there. He was off doing marriage preparation classes or whatever, but just sitting down together and just pausing just for a hot minute just to say thanks for dinner. I don't know. It just builds something in you as a then as an adult. You find yourself reflecting on really small gratitudes. I don't know. It works for me anyway. But,
So
it's also easy for me to say because I've had quite a blessed life. So, you know.
But it is. I think it is a lot to do with your attitude. Like, I think if you are grateful for the things that you have, rather than thinking about the stuff that you don't have, it immediately changes your attitude. And sometimes you get more stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like more doors open to you, and if you're a happier person,
that you've got it all. You've got most of it already.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, and so moving forward with it, you're obviously going to carry on doing the vintage stuff, but it's the whole
COVID thing's fucked it because there's no events, no one's really going anywhere, and realistically I think probably about 2 or 3 months ago I had to face the fact that it was done for this year, and now I'm really thinking it's probably done for next year as well. From what I'm reading, I don't think it's
really
going to be back. Yeah, everyone's saying 2 years.
Really?
2 years. Mm-hmm. Realistically, till it's actually gone.
Yeah.
Especially in America. But I don't know, we'll see. And then again, I had 3 rentals this week for photo shoots. Somebody wanted something for a photo shoot. Quite a lot of women. It's quite exciting. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is it? People are kind of doing stuff at home. So you might find that it does kind of pick up. And surely they're going to have to start things sooner or later, because it's like, just think of all the industries, they're going to collapse, aren't they? Like all the venues and DJs.
I mean, I've got a couple of friends in events and they're like dying, like in outdoor event production, and they're like, it's just terrible.
And there's a lot of, there's illegal stuff's going to go on, because people still want to go out and party, so it's going to happen. It's just whether or not it's biting the bullet, isn't it? But it's different. I know it's different in...
Yeah, well, I mean, luckily, thank God, in Oregon, we've been pretty good. They've been pretty... We locked down really quickly. We've been wearing masks since day one.
Yeah.
And we all live in huge bloody houses with loads of open space. So we're really lucky. We're not in South London stacked on top of each other in flats.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason, I think. And we're all so outdoorsy and healthy here. Like that's just the lifestyle. So we've been quite fortunate. But I don't know. I'm going to, I've sorted out a bunch of stuff. I'm going to start doing a market, I think. I'm going to start doing a bit more vintage store.
I was going to say, do you sell stuff? Like if someone came and they found something and they absolutely loved it, would you sell it? Or
it depends what it is, because I'm very attached to all of my pieces. I finally, having done that vlogging course like 2 years ago, I finally started finding my voice and started doing more talking on Instagram, which is I don't know, I just can't watch it. I do it and then just post it.
Oh really? It's
okay. I can't watch myself, but I realized how attached to everything I am. Like every single thing seems to have some sort of story, or even if it's a story from when I wore it or when I bought it or something it reminds me of, I'm like, bloody hell, I wonder if everyone else is and I've always given my coats all have names. There's like every coat has a name. I'm just weird, I think.
It's nice. I sold a load because I had a load of vintage clothes. I sold a load of them. Now I think, oh, maybe I could have rented them out, but I don't. They weren't anything. They weren't like special. You know, they were just more like a load of 80s dresses. And do you know what I mean?
But, you'd be yeah. surprised. I mean, I think if I was to come home, I would. It would be. I'd be more successful. I think. I don't think Portland's the place for it. There'll always be some market for it, but I think if I came home, I would. So I'm sort of torn.
But you wouldn't find the stuff, though. Your vintage shopping is so much better in America, and it's so much cheaper. It's so expensive here now, like, because it got trendy, didn't it? And then it just went silly.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, I think I think the rentals would be more successful, and I think, you know, because I've got such good connections here, I think I'd do similar thing that Gigi's doing and do half vintage store and half rental.
Yes, yeah.
And I think it would be really popular in England.
It would be, definitely.
So
you could always fly back and do a big shop.
Yeah, there you go. See, I've got places to stay. Fancy places to stay.
Yeah.
Come back, do a restock, see my mates and come back again. Be But, you know, well, there are the days where you could just jump on a plane as well.
Yeah.
God, make it. It's
fucked up.
Make it stop. Make it stop. I hate not being able to travel. It's driving me mad.
How are you doing? That was good, wasn't
it? That was good. So, there, that was part one. And like with all of our podcasts, we just chat and then we realise, oh, it's been really a long time. So we've got to cut it in two. So there's no like definite end of part one. It's just, yeah. But next week it will continue.
Yeah.
And next week she tells us
I must
even
apologise.
More.
For my colleague Amy, for her editing skills, in case you kind of want to hear, she's like, you know, it's like murder mystery, isn't it? Like, and it gets to the crucial point, and then it's like at the bottom it says to be continued.
Yes.
That's a little bit like our podcast, like the Mama Mama podcast.
Yes,
I'm only joking, Amy. We love your editing skills.
Thanks. But yeah, if you enjoyed that, then please check out our other podcast. We've had loads of amazing people on. And the ones
we've got us on
I mean, obviously we're hilarious.
Hang on a minute. We haven't told everybody how many downloads we've had.
Oh my god!
It went off the Richter scale.
Over 10,000 downloads, and I honestly believe it. And thank you so much. Everyone that's listened, I honestly nearly cried when I saw it.
I didn't.
We didn't.
Because I nearly laughed. I feel sorry for you because it's the most amount of drivel that you've ever fucking heard.
I mean...
But you know, that's all right.
Just to give it some kind of comparison, my mate Scroobius Pip posted today...
18 million.
18 million downloads. But he's been doing it for quite a long time. I think it's about 5 years or 6 years he's been going now.
I wonder how many downloads he had at 6 months.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him. I did mean to ask him, actually, because he was like, that's amazing. Like, he's well chuffed for us. But he was famous already when he started doing his podcast.
So I'm famous.
I'm
famous.
Not in those kind of... but yeah, no, I need
famous.
To ask him because podcasts weren't that big when he started doing it.
No.
So I did mean to ask him that, but I forgot, so I will ask him and find out. But still.
Yeah, we've got some exciting kind of additions to our podcast coming up.
Yes.
Which we can't obviously divulge, it's kind of secret.
Yeah.
Secret squirrel. But we've got some big things coming in 2021, haven't we? Not the coronavirus.
We're gonna find a cure.
Yeah,
that's the big news.
Yeah,
but check out our other episodes and please just subscribe to us because that really means a lot when you subscribe to us and give us a five-star
like
review. Because I try.
Yeah, whoever gave us 2 fucking stars, jog on. Do fucking one, knobheads. No, I'm joking. You can still give us a 4.5.
Yeah, at least a 4.
Know.
And. Mama,
yeah, we get a pound then. We get a pound in subscriptions.
I wish. We need to do that. I need to talk to you about that. We need to try and get some money out of this. We need to basically, like, make out we're really sad and so people give us some money. So we can start.
I want a film role. That's what I want. Or a or a voiceover.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being in a film. So if anybody's got any, like, hookups, like, you know.
My mate makes porn.
I don't mean a porn film. No, I'm not doing porn, Amy. I did that when I was young. No, I'm joking. Fine. Don't start trying to find my name. Google my name. Huh?
Boring. All right.
But, you know.
Follow us, Mum and Mama Pod. Everywhere. Yeah. Listen to all
our episodes.
Let us
know how we're doing.
Yeah.
And have fun. Yeah. Oh, this one was definitely a highlight.
Yes, definitely. And thank you, Lou. And more to come next week.
Yeah, have fun.
Safe. All right, have a good week, everyone.
Safe?
Do you know, Chris, quickly, I always used to sign my emails saying safe. And I was known by someone as Safe Amy.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't say that
with
me.
Back in
don't,
the day.
Don't say safe again.
No.
Not with that hair. You really do look like you're going to a sport party. Anyway, come on.
All right.
Work.
Let's go.
See ya.
Toodaloo.
Bye. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.